me. I have a lot of things pressing upon my heart, and many of you, you know that for the past couple weeks, we've been going deeper. Someone say deeper. And if you want more of God and you want to go deeper, tonight is a good night to be here. Many of you know that since we've gotten back from Mighty Men of Valor, we've kind of hit a warfare, right? There's been a lot of spiritual warfare. The more that I talk to people, everyone's telling me, man, I'm going through some things. Just wave at me if you're going through some things. If life's been just a little bit tough, and I believe that God is dealing with a lot of us, but then I also believe that God is teaching us faith, and I believe that God is going to take us somewhere. And I've been saying for the past 2 weeks that not everything that you go through is a result of something you did or a result of something bad inside your life. Sometimes God will allow us to go through things simply to stretch our faith. That's why the Bible says, consider it pure joy when you go through trials of many kind, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Amen. So know that God's testing you so that he can develop perseverance and character in your life. Amen. So tonight, I want to speak to you on a quality that I don't hear spoken of enough, and that's the quality of brokenness. Someone say brokenness. Psalms chapter 51, verse 16 and 17. So Psalms 51, 16 and 17. Say amen when you have it. The Bible says this: for you do not desire sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. I feel led to read chapter 10 in the same verse. It says this: create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God and my Savior. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you would take full control. You know who's in the audience. You know the hearts of your people. They came because they want more of you. So God, I ask that you would allow me to decrease, that you might increase, and take anything, God, all distractions, we bind them, we cast them down in the name of Jesus. And I ask that you would pierce our hearts with your word. Help us to understand that in the midst of whatever we're going through, you're always there, that you will never leave us or forsake us. Father, we love you, we bless you, and in Jesus' name, we all say, amen. So this evening, I want to speak to you on the topic of brokenness. And I felt led to read verse 10 because this chapter is a very interesting chapter. Here, King David is writing to a letter. And he's actually writing from a place of being broken. If you read David's story, David wasn't a perfect man. As a matter of fact, David made some huge mistakes. And here he's writing because he had just been convicted or exposed of sleeping with Bathsheba and later on killing her husband. So here you have a man who loves God yet has done some awful things. Just to give you an idea of his mind when he was writing this. This is why he said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. This is why he said, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Have you ever done some things that you weren't proud of? Or have you ever walked with the Lord and you're doing the best that you can and for whatever reason you just happen to stumble and do things that you know God's not happy with? Wave at me if you've ever been there. Amen. Good. I'm not the only one this evening. But walking with God is a journey. And we're not perfect people. And as a matter of fact, we're going to do things that doesn't please God. And there are going to be times in our life where we will have to learn to repent for the sins we've committed against God. And this is where we find King David. King David was repenting for what he had done. He was repenting for the sins he had committed. And here you see a shift in his mentality. You see a shift in his heart condition. And you kind of sense that he got an aha moment. Because when you read 16, he says, "You do not desire sacrifice, or I would bring it to you. You do not delight in burnt offerings." And the aha moment, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, oh God, you will not despise. See, what happened with David, David got caught up in doing things and not seeking God. And if we're not careful, we can come to church like a routine, time after time, and it can become just a part of our routine during the week, and we're not really broken. When God doesn't want the work of your hands, he's more concerned with the condition of your heart. You know, when I read this for the first time, I thought to myself, what in the world is a broken spirit? Now, mind you, when I came to church, I didn't know of God. I didn't have a church background. But reading something like this, you have to wonder, well, what is a broken spirit? Well, this is what a broken spirit is not. It's not a humble attitude. Some people think that because they're humble, they're broken. You know, you can be humble and not broken. See, brokenness is developed in a person's life as they grow in their understanding of God's grace and mercy. When you begin to think of God's grace and mercy, you can't help but to think of, my God, I don't deserve what I have. When you begin to think of the sins that we've committed and the wretched people that we can be from time to time, only then when you're like, man, God, you died for me, yet you still love me. You've never left me. I know that there's times I'm not faithful, but you've remained faithful. When you begin to understand the ministry of grace and mercy, you can't help but to be broken and to be thankful for what God has done in your life. See, brokenness speaks of our humble response to God's conviction. You know that feeling that you get when you know you've done something wrong? It's our humble response to God's conviction. And brokenness speaks of our dependence on the one who created all things. So here you have King David, and he says, "You do not desire the sacrifices of God as a broken spirit and a contrite heart." Now, what does it mean to be contrite in heart? This is what it means: to be brokenhearted for sin, to be deeply affected with grief and sorrow for having offended God. Let me ask you a question. When you do something that's wrong, does it hurt you enough to where you understand you've offended God? This is also called maturity. Because the closer we get to God, the more we realize of our need for him. And when you look at the day and age that we live in, we're living in anything but brokenness. As a matter of fact, when you look at people, there's a lot of proud Christians. Come on, somebody. If we're not careful and we don't keep a heart for those who are hurting, we can come to church and instead of being broken, we can look down on people, forgetting where we came from. Come on, somebody. This guy acting all a fool in the church. Come on, somebody. When I came into the church, I was acting a fool. And listen, whenever I sense pride coming up, whenever I sense that I'm being ungrateful, the type of prayers that I pray, I don't pray for things. I get on my knees and say, God, remind me where you pulled me from. God, remind me of the pain I used to feel. God, remind me what you did for my family. And sometimes I forget. And in that prayer closet, God begins to remind me of what he did for my family. He reminds me that I used to be brokenhearted. He reminds me that it was him that brought me through times when I didn't know what I was going to do. But God desires for his people to have a broken spirit. Now let me give you some enemies of a broken spirit, and it'll help us understand the concept. The biggest enemy of a broken spirit is pride. pride, where we think higher than ourselves when we ought to. Another enemy of a broken spirit, self-will, where we do everything based on our will and we ignore God's will. Another enemy of a broken spirit is an arrogant and independent spirit. We don't need nobody, and nobody can tell me anything because I know what's up and this is how I'm going to do it and I'm going to figure it out. You got a lot of independent people running around in the church and even outside in the world. Now listen, when we're independent from what God wants to do, it's kind of hard for God to bless us. And one of the biggest enemies of a broken spirit, and this is where we're going to park. You ready for this? Stubbornness. Look at the person next to you. Just kind of look at them. Don't stare too hard. Come on, somebody. I know I could be stubborn, so I can speak on this. Come on, somebody. This is what it means to be stubborn as defined in the dictionary. Fixed or set in purpose or opinion. To be stiff-necked and difficult to manage as a stubborn horse. There is a lot of depth there. Now understand this about stubbornness. Stubbornness, when harnessed, can work to your benefit. Because I like people that are stubborn in the church. I really do. As long as they're moldable and as long as they're repentful and they're willing to learn, I like them. You know why? Because if we can get them on the right track, they won't take no for an answer. When you put them on a task, in spite of what it looks like, they got the faith, they got the stubbornness to be fixed and set on their opinion that my God is able. I may have failed. I'm going to try it again because I know God asked me to do this. Don't clap just yet. Because it takes time and humility to harness that. I would love to say that a lot of people know how to do it, but it takes time. And the only thing that I found that I can harness this stubbornness is through prayer and His Word. But I think it's interesting that it says to be stiff-necked and difficult to manage as a stubborn horse. Because stubborn horses are usually independent wild horses. And wild horses are a whole lot harder to tame and train than a barn-raised horse. See, the traditional way of training a wild horse relies on dominating and breaking its spirit. Only when its spirit has been broken will he learn to follow direction of his master. See, the breaking process focuses on teaching the horse to submit to its trainer. And today, when I look at that as a spiritual parallel, I look at people, and sometimes we can be like stubborn horses. Come on, somebody. You know what another word for a stubborn horse? A maverick. And this is what it means to be a maverick. Maverick are wild, unbranded range animals. Unbranded meaning the horse is not marked by any owner. And when we talk about people and we say that they're mavericks, in other words, when we refer to people as mavericks, we're talking about their independent thoughts, actions, especially when they refuse to adhere to the policies of any group. And there are a lot of people that they won't adhere to the rules of the group. You know the star players on football teams? They're normally mavericks. In other words, I don't care if that's my route. Just give me the ball. I know I'm supposed to run a post, but I want to run. I don't care what the coach said. I'm going to dig in and slant. Just give me the ball and I'll handle it from there. And if you notice, those type of players, eventually they're either kicked off a team or they're tainted by an ugly reputation, not able to work and follow a team. And I would dare to say that sometimes, just sometimes, we can be mavericks when we're far from God. When God simply says, I just want you to understand me, and I want you to understand my grace, and know that it's me that gives you all things. I want to give you a few things about brokenness and we'll close. Are you with me? The first thing you have to know about brokenness is this. Brokenness is the emptying process that is required before the Spirit of God can fill your life. I'm going to say it again. Brokenness is the emptying process that is required before the Spirit of God can fill your life. See, a cup cannot be filled with fresh, pure water until the old, diluted, contaminated water is emptied. John 3:27 says this, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. John 3:30, he must increase that I may decrease. That scripture has everything to do with getting rid of what's in us and putting what God desires for us to have in our life. How do we empty ourselves? Well, we start with the Word of God. We talked about the power of a devotional life. And listen, when we begin to know the Word begins to combat the things in our spirit that are not right. And over time, when we develop a habit of learning the Word of God, God begins to rid us from pride. He begins to rid us from our independence. He begins to rid us from arrogance. And slowly we begin to be filled with trust. We begin to be filled with faith. We begin to be filled with humility. We begin to get filled with generosity. We begin to be filled with being selfless because it's what the Word requires. See, brokenness is so important because for some of us, we got to get rid of our old thoughts. We got to get rid of our old habits. We got to get rid of our old ideologies, the things that we've conjured up in our mind that we believe is right. And that's the story. I wrote it and I'm sticking to it. But God says then we ain't going nowhere. God says it's fine. Well, you can stick to your story. You're going to write it, but time will pass. And by the time you die, can we speak some stuff? Too late? We good? Sometimes we've got to rid ourselves from the things that contaminate our minds. Sometimes it's cutting certain relationships from your life. Sometimes you got to get rid of certain relationships. It doesn't make you better, but listen to me. If certain things are going to cause you to think negative, you know, I ask myself that. I do my very best to get around people that are going to encourage me, that are going to feed me positive thoughts, that are going to be for me than against me. Now, I still love those that aren't there, but I can't focus all my time and energy there because like produces like. The Bible even says that bad company corrupts good character. And if you have good character and you've worked so hard, but you get around people with bad character, eventually your character will be corrupted. Number two, hit mute, brother. Stop playing with the computer. Brokenness is the emptying of selfish ambition. Brokenness is the emptying of selfish ambition. So that we are willing and able to be filled with the Spirit of God and God's ambitions. See, God wants us to get rid of our selfish ambitions. Did you know that God has a perfect plan for your life? There is purpose to why you exist. And God already has all the details mapped out. Everything you ever want, God wants to bless you with. But God says, I need you to put your agenda aside and focus on my agenda. And if you just focus on my agenda, I'll give you everything your heart desires. 1 John 2:16 says this, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes and pride and possessions is not from the Father, but from the world. And God wants us to empty our worldly ambitions out of the church so that we can focus on what matters. See, brokenness is the process where we learn to willingly deny our ambitions for the sake of fulfilling God's plans. Had I relied on my plans, it would have failed a long time ago. But God simply says, trust me. Trust my way, and I will guide you. Number three, you with me? Brokenness often occurs when a person voluntarily, listen to me, voluntarily and passionately seeks God. Brokenness happens when you voluntarily go after God. I'm not going to read it, but some of you know the story of Genesis chapter 32. And here you have, it's the story of Jacob. Now, Jacob was a conniver all of his life. But in chapter 32, the Bible tells us that Jacob, for one time in his life, he sent his wives, he sent his children, and all his possessions over the river, and he had stood for the sole purpose of seeking God. And that night, the Bible tells us in verse number 24, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched, and he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go until you bless me. And he says, what is your name? He said, Jacob. But from that day, he changed his name to Israel. That was a result because somebody voluntarily sought God. It's not enough to just show up on a Wednesday. It's not enough to just show up on a Sunday. But God wants us to voluntarily seek him, whether it be through the word of God, whether it be through prayer, whether it be through having a conversation with someone that might be able to disciple or work with you. But nevertheless, when you begin to seek God, brokenness becomes a part of your life. Why? Because the one that you are seeking, you now find. The Bible says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. Number four, if we don't voluntarily seek after God, hear me now, and you know and you have a knowledge of God, number four applies to us. Number four is this, the breaking process often emerges after moral failure. If you know of God, and you battle and you don't live a godly life, you already have knowledge of who he is. At some point, you will fight, you will do your thing, but at some point, when you experience moral failure, there will be breaking in your life. And I've learned this, there are two types of brokenness. There's involuntary brokenness, and this is where God enters on our lives uninvited, and he shows us areas of weakness in our life, and he begins to prune us, pin back areas that are difficult to manage, and he forces us to deal with the things that matter. And then there's voluntary brokenness. And this is where we allow God to do whatever he desires within our lives. It's an attitude that responds to God, I am willing to go through whatever I have to know you. And trust me, I'm hard-headed. I'm stubborn. And God has had to involuntarily break me. And it doesn't feel good. It's not easy to run from God when you've known him. For David, this is what happened to him. He had, after he slept with Bathsheba, after he killed her husband, he had to deal with God's brokenness, which is a result of him writing Psalms chapter 51. And if you read that chapter, you can just sense the emotion of him wanting to change. But there's a deep cry, God, don't leave me. Sometimes we put ourselves in situations we don't got to walk through. Sometimes because of our stubbornness, God wants to bless us, but because we're stubborn, he allows us to go through things. And he says, man, I want to save you, but all I need for you is to acknowledge who I am in your life. All you have to do is seek me with all your heart, and you will find me. The answer to all that you want and all that you need is found in him. And lastly, number five. Brokenness requires that we release our grip on certain areas of our lives. Brokenness requires that we release our grip on certain areas of our lives. You know, there are certain things in life that we hold on dear to. And God says, I need you to let it go. I need you to let that go. And when we let things go, whether it be our pride, you know that there are a lot of people that they hold on to their offenses? Yeah, no real deal. They like become codependent on feeling horrible. Come on, somebody. Somebody hurt me, and I'm going to keep it like a little pet, and I don't care. They hurt me, and they don't know, and none of, and I hate them, and I want them to know that I hate them. That person done went on with their life. They don't even think about you no more, but I don't care. I'm going to hold on to this. As a matter of fact, if I, one day in my dreams, I always kill them. And the worst part about people like that is they're the type of people that they fall into. Man, I should have said this. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been mistreated by somebody and then you held your tongue because you knew better? You know yourself, so you just stood quiet. But then you go home and then you have these conversations. Man, I should have said this. And when he said or when she said, I should have came with this. I should have hit him from below the belt. You know what? As a matter of fact, I'm waiting. Next time he talks, next time she talks to me, I'm going to let her have it. Come on, somebody. Don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. I do it too. You'll be surprised. You would hope everyone respects the pastor, but it don't go like that sometimes. Sometimes people be acting crazy and acting a fool. I just got to stay quiet. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you. Man, fire. Come on, somebody. But in order to be broken before God, we got to release certain things. We got to release our offenses. We got to start forgiving people. Because, man, if we hold on to those things, God can't take us to the next level. There are some of you, your next level is a result of you letting go of your past pain. Some of you, the next level for your life is saying, God, I just trust you. For others, it's you letting go of how you see yourself. Because to you, you're like God's gift. Come on, somebody, to the church. Come on, somebody. I can say that because I used to think that. Come on, don't look at me like that. I used to think that. Real deal. I used to think, man, when I get the... Come on, somebody. When I get my opportunity, God had to break me. God will let you have success when you have a little ministry. Oh, yeah. He'll let you be successful when it's small. And then on the big stage, his presence will withdraw from you. I know what it is to preach behind the pulpit and know the Spirit of God is not with me. It's called leaning on my own understanding. It's called leaning on the strength of my own flesh. And there are some of us, we're like, we feel, you know. Let me give you just a nugget. Those that battle with anxiety, those that battle with constant stress, chances are you have your hand on the wheel and you haven't let go yet. And God says, let go and let me. Because there's a covering. There's his Spirit. There's his anointing. Mark 8:34 and 35 says this as I come to a close. Then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me, for the gospel, will save it. And sometimes we hold on to our wants. We hold on to our dreams when God simply says, trust me, not only will I give you your dream, but my dream for you is much greater than your dream could ever be. The Bible says that his thoughts are not like our thoughts. His thoughts are far greater than we can ever imagine. God's plan for our life is much greater than we can even imagine. And God simply says, let go. Take up your cross. And when we talk about taking up our cross, it's simply following God's plan for your life. Understand this, that brokenness is a process. Brokenness is the breaking process that convicts a person of their sins, stubbornness, and insensitivity towards God. And once a man or woman has been broken before the Lord, they find themselves responding with humility and repentance. And if there was ever something that we needed in this day and this age, we need people that understand repentance. There are really some people, they commit sins, and it boggles my mind that they really think what they did wasn't that big. They justify the sin. Come on, it's prescription marijuana. Come on, somebody. Come on, it's just two oxy. Come on, somebody. It says one every 4 hours, but I'm going to take two. It's all right, no big deal. Come on, somebody. This is the world we live in. I'm not saying you're doing it. The shoe fits, wear it, but I'm just saying, overall, this is the world we live in. People water down the gospel. How will we reach the world? How do we expect the power of God to fill our lives if we allow the watered down message gospel fill our hearts? I don't want a watered down gospel. I don't want a half true gospel. I want the full word of God. I want to experience his glory. I want to experience his power. Now listen, I know this message is a little tough, and my intent isn't to beat you up, but my intent is to magnify what God really wants to do. Because in order for God to move through someone's life, brokenness needs to be a characteristic. Because when you're broken before the Lord, you can't help, after being successful, falling on your knees and saying, God, had it not been for you, I wouldn't be able to do this. Had it not been for you, I would have never made it out. Had it not been for you, I wouldn't have a church. Had it not been for you, my family would not be together. Had it not been for you, my marriage would not be together. Had it not been for you, God, I need you in my life. And when we begin to have that attitude about everything, come on, somebody. When I first came to the Lord, man, I used to cry for everything. Somebody would pay for my lunch, I'd go. I came in the church, I was broke as a joke. Come on, somebody. Everybody going out to eat and, hey, you want to come? Nah, bro, I'm going to go pray. Hey, bro, it's cool, I got you. Come on now. Real deal, I used to cry for everything. I met my wife, I was like. Come on, somebody. No, I'm just playing. I seen my wife. I was like. No, I didn't do all that. I didn't do that. But I will tell you this. There are times in my prayer closet I just begin to think of my wife and I begin to cry. Because I don't deserve what I have. I pray in the morning. I have my children every morning. They come and they cuddle me as I'm praying. It breaks me. Because I don't deserve to have them as my children. When they say, Daddy, Jesus can heal you. And I begin to think that they don't have to go through what I went through. They don't have to go through fighting. They don't have to go through alcohol. I mean, my God, the things my children will never have to experience. Only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God is our family still together. It's only by his mercy that I still stand, because he is willing to work with a wretch like me. And as the musicians make their way forward, Psalms 34:18 says this: The Lord is near to those who have been broken in heart, and he saves such that are contrite in spirit. The New Living Translation says it like this: The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those who are crushed in spirit. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there are some of you here. You're going through some things. Your heart's been broken. All odds are against you. But the Bible says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. There's something about reaching a breaking point that causes God to intervene on man's behalf. Listen, when we're broken before the Lord, listen to me. If you catch anything, catch this one point. God lives with the broken in spirit. Isaiah 57:15. The high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, the Holy One says this: I live in that high and holy place, but catch this, but I also live with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I refresh the humble and give new courage to those who have repentive hearts. As we all stand this evening, listen, I don't know what you're going through with every head bowed and every eye closed, but I can't help but sense.